here. I just thank you guys so much for your constant support, encouragement, prayers. I couldn't do it without you. What am I doing? Am I okay? Okay. All right. And I'm not sure which way I want to go. Are Beth and TJ in here? They're gone. Okay.
Then,
all right. Then we will, if they come back, we'll use them. Otherwise, we'll do that a little bit later. Got something on my heart, and I was going back and forth about whether or not to share it, because it's like I did a women's conference there, and it's part of what I taught on. But you got hours and we got minutes. So I was going to condense just a little bit of it because it's just such a good illustration. And when we sang the songs today and when you shared what you shared, it just all ties together. So I'm going to hit on it. So I'm going to see where we're at and we'll go through some of this. Let's see. Is this up here or? Nope. We'll let you put the first one up. Okay. There it is. All righty. Well, I just love those trees, as I had to put that in there somewhere. It's just so diverse from what we have. Did I do that? I'm up here playing all sorts of games and what I'm doing. I'm going to sit so I can see. Is that okay? All right. Well, we do this part. But there's just such a diversity in Ghana, and I just wanted to share some of that. What am I doing? I'm pointing it to you. Okay. These are our young ladies, Lexi and Brooke. I have to point it at that? All right. I'm going to sit over here so I can point and look. All right. Lexi and Brooke are in... the first school that I went to was in Accra, and that's in the capital city. And there's two different schools that I... three, actually, that I've been to, but this trip I went to two. And the last three trips I've been to both schools. And they're just wonderful, wonderful people. These are their two little girls. They have been on the mission field for several years, and they're just a blessing. And we were able to... I'm just going to share some of the things that our finances went towards. And purchasing them a bed and mattress was one of them. And also helping cover their tuition and school fees. Is that me doing something here? Am I okay? I don't want to be distracting, but this is, I don't know how you can tell this. Do you see the motorcycle in between the cars there? Well, there's three lanes of traffic, but sometimes it's more like six with the motorcycles. They'll just go in between anything. It is the most frightening thing that I do is travel over there. So your prayers are greatly appreciated. They have suggested rules, but you should see when we get to a roundabout. In capital cities, like 4 million people, but there are very few that drive, so it's mostly taxis, and it gets crazy though. It gets crazy. You got the little roundabouts we got here that are painted lines and arrows, and you know which way to go. You've got like six or eight lanes of traffic just going in and waving out, and it is insane. But this is a dust storm that we came upon. We just got out of school, and the first one, we saw it coming towards us, so we got in the car and headed home. We were going to do a few other things. Help me, Jesus. What do I do? Should I take it off and use the hand mic? I don't want to be distracting to everybody. Would that be better? Okay. Sorry about that.
One, two. Nothing up my sleeve. Nothing up.
She will do magic tricks later.
Oh, praise God. So anyways, this came up upon us to the point where you actually couldn't see anything. It was just, you can see. It just gets worse and worse. But this is just before the rainy season. We'll end with the rainy season, and you'll see a drastic difference between the two. And this is little Lexi. She just turned 8. And they just started a church there, and so they just have a few people, but she's learning the chords on the keyboard, and she's helping with praise and worship. And I was just so thrilled that they gave her place, and she's taking it seriously. She's doing very well, but praise God for that. We got to actually go to a movie. Her grandma had sent money for them to go have some fun. So we went to the mall. Yep, there's a mall, and there's a movie theater. This is in the capital city, okay? You're not going to find these all over Ghana, but in the capital city. And we got into the movie theater, and 5 minutes into the theater, the lights went out. So they had to run out and get the generator and get it up and going. But it's still a very, very common thing in Ghana. No consistency to electricity, to water. It's like camping. And it's just you play it one day at a time. You deal with what you're dealt with. This is a Bible school that is in Accra, and this is a Africa RMAI director, that very, very tall man there. He is over Rema, Zambia, and he is director of the school, a big, huge church of thousands that go there, and he oversees all of the different Rema Bible schools, and this school here is looking to possibly become Rema. They just have to meet the qualifications. Until then, though, it's Global Harvest Bible College. What am I doing? Okay. I think the battery's dead. Okay, so when I got there in April, and that's their summer. Is our winter. The end of our winter is the end of their summer, so it's just starting to cool down a little bit. But it was 91 degrees with 89% humidity, and when you look it up on the heat index, it said it was 122. And I hadn't been over there at that time of year in a long time, and it kind of physically took a toll on me. It took me a couple days to adapt, and I would go teach, and then I'd lay down. And I'd think, oh, I'll just sit here and study. I couldn't even do that. I just was out. And then I started guzzling water, and because I think I was dehydrating in the process. Because, you sweat out the back of your hands. It's something else. So they allowed us to come out in this breezeway here, and that's where I taught classes from. We sat out there. All right, hair woes. Hallelujah. Do you see this? they braided my hair, and I had it done the last couple weeks when I was there, the last trip. And I thought, well, great, I'm just going to have it done right away and not even think about hair, because you don't have to do much, you know. Except they started breaking off. I lost a braid here and a braid here and a braid back there. And I thought, I'll go home bald. I better quit. So I had them taken out, but what really surprised me, and do you see this with the fire there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they burn the, it's braided with a braid, you know, and they just burn it to seal it in so it doesn't come out. And, well, we had lights out to begin with. They went in and out, so that's why there's the dark picture there. But the mirrors were over here, and I'm looking this way, so I had no clue what they were doing. All of a sudden, I catch this glimpse of fire out the corner of my eye, and I thought, So I had my iPad on. I turned the camera on. I'm looking to see what they're doing and see they're lighting my hair on fire. So it does seal your hair. It works fine, but it sure, when the back of my head got hot and I saw this glimmer of fire, I thought, what are they doing? So that was a new experience and a final one. So we went over and we gathered together some graduates that went to Rhema in the States this time and met together with them. And in this group, it represents just this few people that are here. There are three Bible schools represented there, one itinerant minister, there's four churches, there's two children's schools, there's an orphanage, there's God's gym, and then there's me. Out of that, just little groups of people of what they're doing to impact that nation. So it was just a connecting together of them so that they can stay connected and help and encourage one another. Because when you're on the mission field, sometimes you just need a touch of home. You know, it really helps. Or a word of encouragement from a fellow brother or sister. So we funded that luncheon as well for the missionaries that live there. And part of why we got them together was there was a man from Canada, a businessman, and he donated 3 50-pound boxes of Kenneth Hagin books and sent them, had them shipped to me, and then I took them over. Well, I started to take them over when I realized what 150 pounds of books and 2 50-pound suitcases and a carry-on does. I thought, I'm not taking them over. So I went ahead and I had them shipped over. And we got a fairly good deal on that, but that's part of where your money went, was as well, was to bring these books into the possession of the Bible schools. And the students, when they get these things, they just devour it. They are so hungry. It's not like most Americans, you check a book out from the church library and it collects a little bit of dust before you get it back. You take it at your leisure and fit it here and there. They'll take it and they devour the thing. They are so hungry for the Word of God. And it's life-changing to them. So this is a second-year class, and we taught submission and authority. I had them 3 hours, I think it was 3 hours a day. And then the first-year students, I had Saturdays. I'm all over the place here. I'm trying to get through this too quick. I need to just relax, okay? Forgive me. Our Saturdays start at 7 in the morning, 7 to 7:30 is prayer, 7:30 to 4:30 is school with a little bit of break for lunch in between there. Our Monday through Thursday students, they're there throughout the day, and I think they have, at this school, four-hour classes, and they are a blessing. They gave me a gift of material there. This girl here, on the end, the other white girl, do you see her there? Her name's Gazelle. She married a Ghanaian. She is from Russia. She was a Muslim. She came to know the Lord. She married this man, and she's in Ghana. And she is so excited about the things of God and the Word. And three places were set up for her to come back to Russia to speak. She's been shunned by her brother. Her father has little to do with her. Her mother's embraced her and received the Lord. Her brother cut her off completely. Her father has not come to that extent. And we're just praying for the salvation of her family. But she's starting an internet ministry that's opening doors for her, and she had three places to speak when she went over there. That's one of the first-year students. And this is in Tekrati. This is the school that Pastor Tim was talking about that started out carrying buckets of water and concrete and stirring it by hand. And it was an amazing thing to watch. And I love these students. I mean, this makes my life. It really does. The hunger they have for the Word of God. I mean, there. When we sit Saturdays and teach 8 hours, we're teaching 8 hours. And they're loving it. They're not looking at their watch waiting to get up and run out the door. They're loving every minute of it. They want more. It's just amazing. And God's going to use them in great ways. Their stories, we purchased journals for them. And whenever I say we did this, you guys did this too. It's your funds involved too. So you're sowing. These are what you're sowing into. We had ministry gifts is what I taught there. Ministry gifts and what was the other one? Understanding grace. So when I taught ministry gifts, I gave them a journal because some of them are just coming into their ministry. Some have it all figured out and have been in it many years, have been pastoring for several years already, and they're just now coming to get taught. Others are just trying to figure out which end is up, and they have things in their heart. So it's exciting. I just encourage them to journal what God's speaking to them about. While I was there, they had me preach at one of the weddings, and they're very elaborate. And a wedding is about 4 hours in length. Hallelujah. There is all sorts of things that go on in a wedding in Ghana, and they make it fun. It's a solemn ceremony, but everyone's involved, and they make it fun. Well, the couple on the left, that's their Sunday morning wedding. The couple on their Saturday wedding, the couple on the right, their Sunday morning, you are in church Sunday morning after you get married. You are dressed to a T, and you're testifying, giving God the glory. It's just precious. This is just music ministry at Pastor Daniel's Church, Royal Faith Chapel, and that meets on the top level on Sundays of Rema, Ghana. They've also had a building there that they've added on, and it's Passion Educational Center, and it's right now preschool through 4K. They're adding every year whatever they can as they expand and trying to reach the community. The education there is iffy. We helped Lexi and Brooke, the first couple that were in, their children that were in the capital city of Accra, with their tuition. They're in an awesome, awesome school. The man that heads up the churches and the schools under that system is kind of like what Brother Hagin is. There's thousands of churches underneath his oversight. And they're just investing in Ghana. It's just incredible what they're doing. Good, good education. They really see to it. But some of the tribal and more rural places, they may not have any education. That's why some of the graduates have gone out into some of these communities and started something, because there was absolutely nothing. Some of the government schools, there is little to nothing. Some of it's way behind, and yet some of it is far excels what we have in the States. So it's just, you gotta shop around to figure out where you're gonna go to school and make sure what your kids are getting. But it's they're trying to reach their community through that. So on one Sunday morning, I had two services, and it was a couple hour drive away. So at 5:30 in the morning, we're heading out for church. And I just wanted to show you the humidity. You think it's humid here. It just hangs on you. And this is the church. The first service was in English and Twi. The second service was English and French. They have interpreters for every service. There was wars years ago. I think it was in Burkina Faso. And Burundi, some of those have immigrated in, and they're there, and they're French-speaking. So they have a ministry that reaches into their lives. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's all by hand. Don't complain about doing laundry. You got a washer and dryer. Rejoice and dance. Amen. I did that whole load and I hung them out, and then it rained. And then it was humid. And then there was sun behind the clouds. So by the time I got them in, they stunk. And they had to be rewashed. So, ah. Well, which choice do you think I took? You got it. This is Pastor Samuel Sando. He was one of our students when the very first trip, that second trip I made to Ghana. And he is just a blessing. And he's kind of always looked to me as mom. And they started their church, and it is Harvest Point, Ghana. And the little girl that I'm holding there is baby Shelley. So they're just, they honor you. They're just precious, precious people. But he's doing a good work over there, just on fire. The only problem I see with him is he fasts all the time. I keep trying to talk him out of that. Can fasting be a problem? If you take it to an extreme. Amen. Anything good for God can go into a ditch. Amen. Amen. So should we all fast? I believe so. Some people physically, they're going through some situations or medications and they can't physically fast. But you can fast. My husband for a season fasted TV. There's different things you can fast. What's fasting for? Putting your flesh under, getting it under control, and surrendering yourself to God so that he can. You've got time to do whatever it is he has. So, yeah, but he's a little on the thin side. But talk about sold out. Man is sold out. Well, I don't know. We'd go to this hotel. We never swam in the pool. We never went to the beach. We never slept in a room. But we did have that fantastic chocolate ice cream, which is the best chocolate ice cream in the world. It tastes like frozen Hershey syrup. It is so rich and so good. So every now and then, we had a treat. This was a women's conference that we did, and this is what I want to share some of these things with you. It was just a blessed time. First time that she held a women's conference, and we had a wonderful time. And she did take us to that fancy hotel for lunch afterwards, and it was excellent. So there are some real extreme niceties there. There are, but very few get to participate with them. So this is another church, Pastor John. We support them on a monthly basis, Cross Ministries International. This is when I go and do the medical mission. It's with his ministry, and that's where I'm going in November again, is to do a medical mission. And we're going outside of his community this time to the place where he was raised as a child. And when we go, I've got some friends that are evangelists. They're coming. They're going to do a crusade at night to reach into the community and to bring them in. Their desire is to get people saved and to start a church, start a fellowship to begin with, and then from there, one of their pastors that they raise up, they'll bring over and set in place for a church. So that's the game plan. In the morning, we'll have the medical outreach. What we do is the last time I went in and I preached the gospel, just real short, 10-minute message, just laying out God's goodness, his love. Amen. And give them opportunity to receive Jesus. And then from there, what we did was the doctors and nurses, they would evaluate and they would give them prescription, and then they would come see me. And we had a couple interpreters working with me. To begin with, it's one-on-one. After a while, it's six or eight are coming in. It just, I took too much time with them, and it was catching up to me. Well, in the process of time, we saw, I think, 173 or something come to know the Lord in the gospel outreach. But then we saw about a dozen Muslims come to Jesus on the one-on-one. And we saw some that were stuck in traditional African religion receive Jesus. And we saw some backsliders come back. So that was awesome. So that is going to have opportunity to do it again. This time, my daughter-in-law is looking at going with me and our 10-year-old granddaughter, Cheyenne. So we'll have an evangelistic team. Cheyenne is going to go into the schools and tell them what it's like to live in America and share that kind of thing, go to maybe an orphanage or two. Her heart is for the children, so she wants to see something there. So that's the plan this time, and then the medical outreach. After they see me, then they go get their prescription or medication, actually. There's a what we do is we buy all the medicines and set them in place, so that they can have that, partake of that. So that's Cross Ministries International, and we're a big part of their church. I had a healing meeting when I was there, and it was awesome. In April, we had a lady come into our church, and she worked under Brother Hagin for years. And one of the things that, you know, there were things prophesied over her. Well, this last year, things began to kick in. And I watched her and talked to her. And one of the things she did in ministry was when they were praying for the sick, she wouldn't let them go back unchanged. Amen? Amen. And I watched her, I watched that, I learned from that. And then, because I would do things like that on occasion if God really prompted me. Now move this, do that, whatever. But it was an occasional thing. She did it with every single one. So when this meeting was opened up to me, and it's just a healing meeting, then I thought, I just thought I'm going to go with this. I'm telling you, I don't know how many we might have had, I don't know how many people we had come up, quite a few. But I ministered to them one-on-one, and I would make them move your arm. Yeah, but it's broken. Let's move it. What can you do? They began to move. They began their hearts, lungs, all sorts of things, broken bones, all sorts of things that they were dealing with were they noted change, either instant healing or noted change in their body before they went back to their seat. It was just amazing. It was amazing. Amen. Why? Because they're beginning to release their faith. So by moving and beginning, you're kicking that anointing into gear. So that was, for me, that was a real exciting time. And blessed. In the fall, we brought over, they wanted, Pastor John wanted for the youth group some soccer balls. Well, from that, last fall, they joined together into the community and are trying to gather up a team. They're still looking for support for fees and uniforms and shoes and all that stuff, which we haven't committed to. But they came asking for prayer, so we prayed for them, and one of the young men did come to receive the Lord through that. So sometimes you think, well, soccer ball, what's a soccer ball going to do? It can change the world. Amen? It can make a big difference. This was a healing service at Pastor John's. And this, we had one day slotted out of the whole time. We had one day slotted for the beach. And we're looking at the storm systems and stuff, trying to figure out, can we make it or not? And there's supposed to be a storm there. We went anyways. The storm went away. We were there on a cloudy beach, but it was the beach. So that was our one day, and it was a blessing. This is Pastor Daniel and Corinne, where I've done most of my ministry at Ramagana. It was Power Faith Bible Training College to begin with. Became Ramagana a few years ago, and these are their children. And we're able to help them with tuition for their children. This is graduation from both the Tech Karate and Accra campuses. And this is when it's time to go home. No more dust storms. It's the rainy season, and that lasts till through about August. And usually when I go is about September. And so I generally miss that whole thing. But that's it for the pictures. I think that pretty much covers it. Are there any questions about anything?
You wore me out.
Wore you out? You should see my schedule. I it's hard for me to believe when I see this thing. I'll show it to you later. But it's awesome. I love it, and there's grace for it. You know, when I first started going over, I didn't think I could do half of what they, you know, they just pop things in on you. You know, we're doing a student outreach, and the students are going to go into this community and hold a crusade. Well, hallelujah, sounds good to me, right? Until they tell you you're going to be preaching the crusade. I thought this was student training. Let them preach it. No, Mom, this is Africa. You need to preach in Africa. You need to do a crusade. So that was my first time in a setting like that. But that's what they do to you. They'll just put you out there and expect you to float. And you do, because the grace is there to do it. Whatever God requires of you, you can do. So it's fun, it's exciting, it's challenging. You were going for a walk, and where we're going? Well, we're going up to the radio station. And they're talking away, and then all of a sudden, oh, hallelujah! You know, things that, for me, that's intimidating, you know. But I've just learned over the years, you know what? God is there. God's grace is there. Whatever he's required of you and whatever he's required of me, the ability is there to do it. And we just got to get, what was that that you said? Get past us? You know, just get pushed past me. That's, you know, and just believe the greater one that's in you. So I'm going to share a couple things. Can you guys come up and help me maybe? There's something that was on my heart. And I don't know how I'm going to get this out. It was what I did at the women's conference, and I have boatloads to share here. But I'm not going to, because we have minutes to get it done in. I'm going to get my prop box here. I want you to meet couple of people here. This is Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you guys come closer? Okay, you stand over here, Jesus. And this is us. Okay, she's going to represent you and me. And what I want to do, you know, we don't realize really all that we have in Christ. I think some things we take for granted, I think sometimes it's just kind of glossed over. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the realization of what Jesus did for us hit me. We did a women's conference, and we called it For Such a Time as This. And God has called us into the kingdom, just like Esther. I love that from the book of Esther. Well, he has called us into the kingdom. We've gone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, into the kingdom of light. Amen. We've been translated from one to the other. Amen. There's new laws. We're free from the law of sin and death. But hallelujah, there's a new law we're under, spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we're not under the law. We're not under guilt and condemnation. We're not under all the nonsense that religion puts on us. But we're free in Christ. And we need to understand. But as I was getting ready for this last spring, there I don't know if any of you are on Facebook, but there was this one picture that popped up, and that just hit me hardcore. And it was a picture of a crown. And all it said on the title was, "A lot can happen in 3 days." And there's a crown, and half of it was a crown of thorns, and half of it was gold and jewels. It was beautiful. And it just struck me. And I took that, just kept thinking about that and thinking about, well, what, you know, what we've received in Christ. But I was looking at it in a different light. Because if Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen, if that throne room has been opened up to us, that veil was ripped and torn so that we can boldly enter in, so that we can fellowship with our Jesus. Amen. That there's nothing between us and Him any longer. Amen. And talk about great. Amen. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the one Almighty God, that He's opened the door and made a way for us to come into, and He wants to fellowship. He wants to hear about details in our life. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to ask Him questions. Amen. He wants us prepared so that we can go forth into this harvest field, whether it's here in Janesville or Beloit or Afton or wherever you're from. He wants you feeling equipped, knowing and hearing from Him, and stepping into the fullness of the grace that He has for your life. Amen. For such a time as this. Amen. The days we're living in, they're numbered. Amen. It's the end of the end. Amen. And there's grace for it. There's an excitement about it. There's things that He's trying to impart into us. He's opening the eyes of our understanding that we would know the hope of our calling in Christ Jesus. So we take our place and we run with it. Amen. But He's trying to get the whole body of Christ to wake up. You know, the scripture says He's looking to and fro. Is He going to find anyone? Anyone in faith? Looking all over the earth, is He going to find? How many in faith are here? Are you one of them? Is He going to find you in faith in these end days? Amen. Part of what we need to be in faith about is who we are in Christ. And this is what I want to show you. Because, let me see. I need a Bible. Or I need something. Okay. I need time. I'm trying to do this too quick. I'm way too much. Okay. Well, I'm going to jump to the meat of it. What were we? Lost in our sins, dead in our trespasses. Our sins were as what? Filthy rags, right? I mean, in reality, all of us were clothed like this. Just stained, ripped, torn, bruised, disgusting. Nothing of our own righteousness was of worth. We were covered in sin and shame. But then Jesus, He took our place. Jesus bore our sin. Jesus bore our shame. He took it upon Himself. He became sin that we would be free. Amen? So when we were under guilt and shame and condemnation, what does that do to you? It leaves you feeling horrible. It leaves you feeling lost and confused. It leaves you hanging your head down. It hinders relationships. You can never excel to be who you've been created to be, because you're always feeling less than what He created you to be. So He took it on Himself so that we could be free of rejection, free of shame, free of guilt, free of condemnation. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? So if the enemy's attacking you in the area of your mind, your soul, your heart, saying you're less than, just tell him to shut up. Amen. Because you are righteous in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. Come on over here. Because of this, stand in front of your Jesus. The blood that was shed washed us. Amen?
Yes.
It cleansed us. And this is what it did. It took this. Amen. And left this. And now she's in Christ Jesus. Because of the blood that was shed. Because he saw and loved and valued so much all of us. So that we just receive and accept what he's done. And now we're clean. We're right. We're holy. We've been justified. We have access to the King of Kings. We have the grace of God upon our lives. We have the anointing of the greater one inside of us. We have the mind of Christ. We have been fully equipped for everything that he has given unto us. Amen. He's done it all. He's done it all. I think I need my Bible. I'm going to have to take a minute. I need to read this scripture. It says, when the morning was come, let's see if I can skip some of this. This is in Matthew 27. It says in verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou that thou, how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto him, whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that the envy they had delivered him. And when he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, where the twain will that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus that they call the Christ? And they say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? And they cried out all the more, let him be crucified. And Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, and that rather in the tumult was made. He took water and he washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See it to yourselves. And he answered the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And they released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So literally, we see an exchange took place right there. And mankind was not calling out for Jesus, but for the sinner. Amen. The sinner, Barabbas, is us. Jesus is the king. Now, when a king is made king and given his position, there's a coronation, right? Yep. We're going to look at Jesus' coronation because it's right here. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and they gathered him unto the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him. We're not going to strip TJ. But these pictures of Jesus aren't accurate. When it says they stripped him, they stripped him. And he hung in humiliation before the people. Why did he do that? Why did he allow that? So you and I would no longer ever have to be under that condemnation. And then they put on him a scarlet robe. We're not going to put the pretty side out for him. Now understand that this is in the midst, in the very midst where they just scourged him. So his back is all ripped and shred and open and bleeding and oozing. And now they're laying cloth on it. Can you imagine what that's going to do? And it wasn't because they honored him. They were making fun of him. They were mocking him. The coronation that was given to him was to humiliate and shame him, belittle him. And yet, it's what he did for us. But the reality is this. The robe that was set on him was given unto us. So we're white as snow and we're robed in righteousness. We've been exalted to a high place. Amen? And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. Now understand, the thorns that were over there aren't itty-bitty thorns. They're thorns, and they're sharp. And they probably put it on his head, not with their hand, but wrapped up and then beat it on with their club. The chastisement of our peace, our mind, our heart, was upon him that we might have peace. Amen? That crown paid a price for us. It brought us peace. Amen. But not only did it do that, it brought righteousness. It brought, if we receive, those who receive Jesus Christ, they receive a crown of life. They receive a crown of righteousness for those that love his appearing, and a crown of glory that will not fade away. So he's wearing that crown, and we're wearing this one. Are you getting the picture? The exchange that took place? Our God is so awesome. And then they gave him a reed and placed it in his right hand. There's his scepter, mocking him. Oh, king of authority. There's your reed. But what has he given us? He's given us authority. He's given us the name that's above every name. Amen. He said, now you go, therefore. This is all authority. In doing this, he received back keys of death, hell, and the grave. He went into hell. He gathered them up. What do keys signify but authority? He grabbed forth those keys. Amen. And now, after his resurrection, he gives forth a command. He says, all authority has been given unto me. Now you go. You take your position. You go in the name of Jesus. You go. You preach the gospel. You cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick. Amen. You do it. He wasn't speaking to evangelists and pastors and teachers and prophets and apostles. He was speaking to all of them. You go. You go. Amen. And just like when I'm in Ghana, they want me to go. And it might be a little scary sometime when I'm stepping into new territory. But the greater one is on the inside of me. She's in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. The greater one resides on the inside of us. And what we have need of, we step into that at any point in time. We bring forth what he's given us. You are anointed, it says in 1 John. You have an anointing from the Holy. Who, me? Yeah, you. Every one of us. The greater one living inside of us, leading, guiding, and directing us. And anointing us to go forth and do everything he's required of us to do. If he's put something, he's stirring your heart to go speak to somebody, go do something, go lay hands on your neighbor. And, oh, I can't do that. They won't like me. They want this. They want that. They won't receive me. If he's prompting you to, you need to go. And if they don't receive you, they had the opportunity. He wants to at least give people opportunity, amen, that they be without excuse. So we need to be to step up and share God's love and share his truth, amen. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it, amen. I'm no different than you, amen. I really am not, amen. It's the same God in us. All of us. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Mocked him. Oh, great king. Can you imagine? I mean, Jesus wasn't, he was the Son of God, yeah. But he was a man in the flesh. He came in the flesh. He had emotions. He had everything you and I have to deal with. If somebody mocks you, it's no big deal. Really. Amen. There was a man that, my husband worked at the City of Faith, and he worked with this gentleman. And he was outside on the campus, and he was sharing Jesus. He started sharing Jesus with somebody that came up. And the guy got so upset, he punched him in the nose, broke his nose, and then took off. So he's left there, knocked unconscious and bleeding. This guy winds up at the City of Faith where my husband worked, and he told my husband the story. He says, I just can't wait to get to heaven so I can thank the man. Because I walked away. I left him laying there. But that turned my life around, and I received Jesus because of it, and he doesn't know it. Sometimes when you're rejected, you don't see the seed that was sown. Sometimes seed comes up. Quick, I love a radish because why? 2 weeks you got produce, right? I mean, everybody plants radishes just for that fact. Who likes a radish, you know? But we like to see the fruits. But some stuff, it sits there for months before you see anything develop. And that seed went into that man, but it brought forth life. Amen. There's a price that sometimes we have to pay, but don't count it as though it's unworthy. They're worth it. He gave his life for them. Amen. They spit upon him. I'm not going to do that. And they took the reed and they smote him on the head with it. Aren't you glad that's a wimpy reed? And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and they put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, it just goes on unto more of the crucifixion and what actually happened. But the price he paid, it washed us, it cleansed us, it gave us a place of authority. Everything that was lost in the fall was redeemed. It was brought back to us. Amen. We have health. We have wisdom. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit directing us, helping us in every way. Amen. And we can do this. We can go forth. We can go forth for the glory of God. We can bring forth what he's put into us. We have a crown of righteousness. We have a crown of life. Amen. We have a crown of glory. Amen. What he paid so that we could have it. Amen. His blood to wash us and cleanse us from this. Robed in authority, robed in righteousness, clean and holy before our God and before others. Amen. So what's the key here? We need to start believing it. Thanks, guys. We just need to start believing it. Amen. That we need to meditate upon who we are. Who knows, for thou hast come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. And we need to begin to see. There's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that we're expecting. You guys expecting it too? We're expecting to see some great things in God. We're expecting to see miracles and signs and wonders. We're expecting God to be God and for the whole world to know it and to catch on to that. Amen. But he needs us. He needs us to say, yeah, I believe it. I believe I'm clean. You can't. If you have been struggling with that, how many of you are born again in here? You raise your hand high. I don't want to be guessing. I want to know. You know that you know. Everybody in here is born again. Hallelujah. Then you need to grasp hold of the truth that you are holy. There was a point in my life I couldn't say I'm holy. I think, yeah, right. I couldn't say it. I couldn't see it. That's why I couldn't say it. But according to the Word of God, that's exactly what He sees us as, holy and righteous and pure. Amen. And we need to see that. You can't love if you can't love yourself. If you're hating on yourself, if you're thinking less of yourself, then you've got to change some things up in your thinking. You've got to begin to believe what God says about you, that you're precious in His eyes, that you're the apple of His eye, that you're holy, that you are purposed for Him. Amen. And once we begin to see these things, then we'll begin to love. That love flows out. You can't love if you don't love yourself. You just can't do it. There's just a stopping block right there. So we need to just get before God. God, open my eyes. Help me to see. He was loved, forgiven much is loved much. I don't know about you, but my life is a pretty sordid background. It's pretty ugly back there. But it's back there. I don't have to look at that. I get to look upon Him in all of His glory because He's forgiven me. So if He's forgiven me, then who am I to not forgive me? Am I greater than Him? Are you? We got to get ourselves in agreement with Him. We're free and right and holy and pure and righteous and anointed and well-equipped for these end days. And it's going to take every one of us rising up to the occasion and say, okay, God, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Are you ready? Well, let's say this together. Hallelujah. Father, here I am. Use me. Open my eyes and my understanding that I truly know the hope of my calling in Christ Jesus. Help me to see your love for me, your love for others, and how glorious our relationship can be. Hallelujah. I am going to encourage you, spend time with Him. It is not wasted time. Amen. Just lay on your bed and commune with Him. Become intimate with Him. And not just surface, but the depth of your heart. Pour out your heart. Ask Him to reveal. What do you need to know? I don't know what I need to know. But He does. If I knew what I needed to know, I'd know it already. But I ain't there. I'm still on the journey. Amen. But He's going to get me there. And He's going to get you there. And He's going to be glorified and magnified in all of our lives. Amen? Amen. Thank you.